VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, it's been in the news as January 1, 2018 rolled around. California joined a growing list of states that approved the so-called recreational use, and I put that in quotes, recreational use of marijuana. And besides this, many more states have opened the door for marijuana to be used for what's called medicinal purposes. It's kind of ironic that states that have gone to great lengths to stop cigarette smoking are opening the doors for marijuana use. Is the use of marijuana harmless, like so many are making it out to be? What impact does marijuana have upon a society? What does it have, what effect upon families, upon children? What about medicinal marijuana? Are there alternatives? Well, joining us in discussion today, we welcome back Dr. David Stevens, the Chief Executive Officer of Christian Medical and Dental Association. They are the nation's largest faith-based organization of healthcare professionals. Dr. Stevens has also served previous as a missionary doctor in Kenya for some 10 years. He's conducted numerous seminars on such issues as stem cell research, human cloning, genetics, faith and health, physician-assisted suicide, abortion, and numerous other topics. Dr. Stevens, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Oh, it's always good to be with you, Jim.
As you know, January 1, 2018, the calendar page turned and California opened the door for what's called the recreational use of marijuana. And Newsweek reported January 2nd that the legal marijuana market, that's what they called it, the legal marijuana market could blaze across the U.S. in 2018 with at least 12 states poised to consider marijuana legalization in 2018, making it a pivotal year for this movement. And they said that several states are looking at approving this, like Vermont, New Jersey, Michigan, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Ohio. What's your response to this, Dr. Stevens?
Well, it's not a good thing, and we'll be talking about that over this next hour. And part of the reason all this is happening, Jim, is there's a lot of money behind this. George Soros, the very liberal billionaire, has poured $100 million into the Drug Policy Alliance, which is a group that's pushing legalization across the country. And there's a dozen other groups. In fact, if you go to Colorado, where this has been legal for the last few years, they have 28 full-time lobbyists at the state legislature, more than on any other issue, trying to make sure that there are no restrictions or regulations on marijuana use there coming across as a new law or regulation. So big money is driving a lot of this, and as well as a lot of television, as we saw on CNN on New Year's Eve, where they showed a pot party.
And welcoming in so-called the new year with smoking the pot. Let's talk about the effects. What's in marijuana that causes concern here? What ingredient is there, and how does this impact a person physically or psychologically?
Well, the active substance is called tetrahydrocannabinol. And that's what gives you the high, the hallucinations, the feeling of ease, of loss of contact with time, and other effects on the body. It's interesting to note, Jim, that back in the 60s, you know, when marijuana really got on the scene and people were using it, the plants being smoked then, and it's the leaves and the flowers and buds, had about 1% tetrahydrocannabinol in them. Now the average across the United States is 12 times higher, 12%. If you go to Colorado, it's about 30% higher than it was back in the 60s. And there's forms that we'll talk about later where the concentration even goes higher, up to 95% tetrahydrocannabinol. You talk about medical marijuana, tetrahydrocannabinol doesn't actually give any of the so-called medicinal effects. It's another substance called cannabinol, and cannabinol doesn't give you a high, but has some effects on glaucoma and nausea and other things. But, of course, that's all lost in the discussion that we're having in this country. Let's just legalize marijuana and get these medicinal effects. That's the first step. And then, secondly, let's do it for recreation.
Yeah, and so we hear so often the mantra, well, if we just legalize it, that will cut down on the abuse of it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to look at California on that because last year an independent group estimated 13.5 million pounds of pot were produced in California. This was before it was illegal, and 80% of it was illegally shipped outside the state. And of the remaining 20%, only 5% went into medicinal marijuana. The huge production, and this is coming out of Colorado as well. Colorado has such a high concentration of tetrahydrocannabinol that it's worth a lot more money, so they're bringing it out illegally and sending it into other states across the country.
Dr. Stevens, when we take a look at how this will impact one's physical body, what are some things that marijuana does to the body?
Well, it causes breathing problems. Of course, any kind of smoke does that, and the active substance gets into the bloodstream almost immediately. It increases your heart rate, gives you an increased risk of a heart attack, especially if anyone has a heart condition. It's very bad for pregnant women. It does harm to the unborn baby. They have a lower birth rate. They have increased risk of both brain and behavioral problems. Trouble with attention, memory, problem solving as they grow up. It can cause, if you're using a lot of it, it can cause intense nausea and vomiting. Even though this is supposed to be used for vomiting, it causes a cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, which essentially means you just start vomiting and can't stop. It causes temporary hallucinations and paranoia. People say, well, nobody's ever died of marijuana. Nobody's ever died of smoking a cigarette either. They die from the effects later on of the cancer they get. But what happens with marijuana is that it gives you paranoia and hallucinations, and it's already happening in Colorado where people have killed themselves because of high doses of marijuana or killed other people because they're paranoid that they're out to get them. It causes other mental health problems. If you have a tendency towards schizophrenia, it makes it worse. It causes lower satisfaction with life, relationship problems, less academic and career success. The list just goes on and on and on. This stuff is not innocuous. It causes a lot of problems.
And some will say, well, it only impacts me. But Dr. Stevens, I'd venture to say this really impacts the society, doesn't it?
Well, it does. In fact, stuff coming out of Colorado shows that people just are not successful with life that use marijuana regularly. 20% of people make less than people making under $25,000, 20% of them use marijuana. $25,000 to $50,000 income a year, only 12%. It decreases the higher you go. So there's this association with not being very successful. They call it anti-motivational syndrome. In other words, you're using marijuana and you have no desire to get out and have a job or show up a job on time or be diligent in your job. And so, and then, of course, the thing we haven't mentioned, Jim, is the impact of this on driving. This causes accidents. In fact, there's good evidence that shows that it's very dangerous, especially when combined with alcohol. About a 62% increase in traffic accidents if you're using marijuana. If you're using alcohol, it's about 5 times. Use both of them, and it's 6 times as many accidents. So this definitely has a problem with traffic accidents, not only injuring the people driving and in their car, but you or me going down the road.
Is it just your organization that has access to this? I mean, why are we seeing states that are just really jumping on the bandwagon and say, yeah, that's what we want for this state too?
Well, what do you think, Jim? It's money. It's money. This is getting taxed. And so they're estimating by 2018, this year, it'll be $3.5 billion business in California. The next year, 2019, $5 billion, and the state will make $1 billion in taxes off of marijuana. And so what's happening is not the legalization of marijuana. What is happening is the whole idea of the commercialization of marijuana. There's two different things going on here. And what do you do when you commercialize something? You want to increase and get more current users, and you want them to become more frequent users. You're marketing. You go to Colorado, and you'll see marijuana being marketed on television, in print, sales, discounts, come to our shop. It's huge amount of money both for the state and for people involved in it. In fact, in one minority area in Denver, there's one marijuana shop for every 47 people in that community.
Oh, my. It is just everywhere then.
It is. It is. In fact, you can hardly go down the streets in Denver without smelling marijuana, even though you're not supposed to smoke it in public or anywhere you can't smoke. If you can't smoke cigarettes, you shouldn't be able to smoke marijuana. It still happens. In fact, if you're in an apartment building and the person in the next apartment is smoking marijuana and the fumes are coming in, if it's smoking tobacco, they will stop it. If it's smoking marijuana, they won't, because they have a right to smoke it.
Okay, so is there a second? We have heard of secondhand smoke. Is there a second hand effect upon those who intake the smell of marijuana?
Absolutely, and just like with tobacco smoke, it's worse if you do it inside a car, a closed room, or whatever. And children are breathing this as well. In fact, one of the big problems in Colorado and now in California is the edibles. This isn't just smoking. In fact, that's probably dropping in the number of people consuming tetrahydrocannabinol. Is not by smoking, though that's going on. It's in edibles. It can be put in everything. It's in coffee, ice cream, baked goods, suckers, soda, tea, hot chocolate, breath mints, candy, granola, gum, gummy bears, main course meals, side dishes. In California, they're having gourmet parties with tetrahydrocannabinol-infused food served by chefs. And so it's everywhere. And can you imagine your kids go over to somebody else's house? Well, you're not asking them if they have loaded guns that aren't locked up. You're saying, do you have marijuana edibles around the house? Because this stuff doesn't even have to be labeled in Colorado. It can look like any package of candy. And kids pick it up and get it and get overdosed on it.
Dr. Stevens, do you believe that California is about to suffer a pretty rude awakening as to the social cost to be paid?
There's going to be social costs. We're already beginning to see that in Colorado. Increased accidents, problems with overdosing, 800% increase in children coming to the emergency room with marijuana accidental overdosing in Colorado in the last year. So, yes, how do you police it? There's no alcohol breath analyzer for marijuana. You can't do that. So how do you know if somebody has been using it and has impaired their driving? And so in Colorado, they actually have hired and trained special policemen to come and do a kind of physical exam and testing orally of someone to determine whether they think they're on marijuana or not, because regular cops can't do it. And this stuff stays in your blood, alcohol, for, 24 hours or so or less. The tetrahydrocannabinol stays in your blood for 28 days.
28 days, and so its effect will last as well?
Absolutely. It decreases over time, but you still have it in your blood for 28 days.
Dr. David Stevens is our guest today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about the harmful effects of marijuana in light of the fact that we have seen California, January 1, that has brought about the so-called recreational use of marijuana. Other states are on the drawing board for doing that. Vermont just most recently, and New Jersey, Michigan, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Ohio. And folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're also going to discuss the so-called medicinal use, the medical use of marijuana. Are there concerns there? And also we'll be taking a look at marijuana and its impact upon youth. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, whatever happened to Halley's Comet?
Chris, Halley's Comet is what astronomers refer to as a short-term comet. It makes an orbit around the sun every 76 years. People saw it in the early 1900s and then again in the 80s. Astronomers can keep track of it through telescopes, and they've noticed it has decreased in size. Every trip around the sun causes the comet to disintegrate, with the tail of the comet being stripped away. Halley's Comet can't make very many trips around the sun without being totally destroyed. Thus, it couldn't be millions and millions of years old. It's a short-period comet. But there are a lot of short-period comets in the solar system. The solar system can't be billions of years old with all these youthful features in it. Chris, everything fits the recent creation idea that we're taught when we go back to Genesis.
For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. David Stevens with us today from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. We're talking about the harmful effects of marijuana as we see a push happening across this nation to so-called legalize it. And as Dr. Stevens pointed out, we're talking about the commercialization of marijuana. And let's hit on this aspect, Dr. Stevens, of potency. And you know, people go back to the 60s. You talked about it, just 1% of concentrated the THC. And it is amazing to see how it is becoming increasingly more and more potent. But it doesn't even stop with the 12% that we've seen here recently as well.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There's no limit on concentration in the laws out there. And people actually are increasing these more and more potent to get more of the market, essentially in the commercialization. Let me give you an example of what they're doing with gummy bears. I like gummy bears. I don't know about you, but it's nice to chew on. Well, what they do is they buy them in bulk. They spray them with concentrated tetrahydrocannabinol, coat them with a little sugar, repackage them in packages very similar to what the candy company does. And now the recommended dosage no higher for marijuana for an adult is 10 milligrams of THC. But these gummy bears are anywhere between 40 milligrams to 200 milligrams.
Oh, my.
Have you ever ate 1/20th of a gummy bear? And one of your kids can pick one of these up. And there's no requirement in Colorado that the package is even labeled as having tetrahydrocannabinol in it. Chibi Chews, they look like Jolly Ranchers. They have up to 175 milligrams. They make a soda bottle that's got THC in it, the abbreviation for tetrahydrocannabinol, and it's 350 milligrams, 35 times the recommended maximum you take of tetrahydrocannabinol at one time. I've never drunk 1/35th of a soda. I don't, maybe people have, but I haven't. Then they go the next step. They have what's called concentrates. Now, I mentioned to you that they usually smoke the tips of the branches, buds, leaves. That's where the highest THC levels are. But somebody got industrious and thought, well, man, we're just wasting the rest of that marijuana plant. And what they do is take it, chop it up, the stalks, the other leaves, and pack it into a pipe and then shoot it with either compressed butane or propane that you would use for your grill. And what it does is pushes all the tetrahydrocannabinol out of those stems and gives you a concentrate that's 80 to 95% THC, not 12%, 85 to 95% THC. They then try to take out the butane and propane. There's no testing to see if they've done that well. And they turn that into a little pellet. Now, here's how potent it is. One of those concentrate rocks, as they call them, half the size of a pinhead, would knock you on your back in seconds. And what they do is they take that and put it in a electronic cigarette, vape it, and you can breathe that in, and nobody can even smell marijuana, and you're taking this huge hit. You also can do the same thing using one of the electronic cigarettes we see all over the place with cocaine or heroin and all the rest of it, because you're actually taking it up to a very high temperature and turning it into a vapor and directly inhaling it in the lungs, where it almost instantly goes into the bloodstream.
It is amazing. Dr. Stevens, let's hit the impact on youth here. And I'm looking at a report that's called The Legalization of Marijuana in Colorado, The Impact. This was volume 4 that came up in September 2016. They may have had a more recent one since then. But they talk about the increased percent of young people that have gotten involved with marijuana, up 74% higher than the national average, compared to they were 39% higher back in 2011-2012. But they also talk about the number of 62% of all drug expulsions and suspensions were due to marijuana violations. They talk about middle school users and mom and dad supplying it for them. norm, saying, hey, it's okay. They talk about the number, 69% of schools reporting an increase in marijuana incidents in their schools. What is happening to the youth as a result of the legalization, so-called, of marijuana recreational use in Colorado?
Well, it's happening everywhere this is legalized. And, of course, we know from alcohol, if you have alcohol in your home, it's much more likely your kids are going to use it and get a hold of it and not even let you know about it. And same's true of marijuana, that if parents are using it, but then also in Colorado and other states, they're not supposed to have it within 1,000 feet of a school. You can go into Denver and find shops much closer than that to schools where kids can come over at lunch, break, whatever, and get marijuana. And it's readily available. It's highly competitive, so it's getting cheaper. That's the reason for the higher concentrates. We can charge more if we give you a higher concentration. And it's money-making business. The other interesting thing about this, Jim, is this. This is a cash business. You cannot bank marijuana profits. Did you know that? Because the banking laws state that you can't put drug money in the bank. The FDA can't regulate it, the Federal Drug Administration, because why? It's an illegal drug. You can't regulate an illegal drug because nobody's supposed to be using it. So all these things make this even a bigger problem because you've got all this drug money, millions, billions of dollars floating around, and it's causing robberies, it's causing taxes not to be paid because it's cash-only business. How do they know how much money I brought in today in my shop, even if they do want to tax it? Money laundering, and a pound of marijuana from Colorado cost about $2,000 a pound. And what's happening in Mexico is, yes, they're taking care of the legal drug business. They can't compete with the quality that they have in Colorado. So you know what they're doing? They're converting their marijuana fields in Mexico to heroin because this is a gateway drug to the next high. I get a little higher, a little quicker, maybe a little different feel if I use opioids or heroin or something like that. So that's going to have an impact on youth as well. They get started with this, and then they move on, a lot of them, to other drugs.
Yeah, and I'd like to hit that even further because our Attorney General Jeff Sessions has compared marijuana to heroin, blames it for the spike in violence there. You're saying that marijuana has been used as a gateway drug? I know that, and comment on that too, because we see we have a huge opioid epidemic right now. Is there a link then between marijuana and this opioid epidemic?
Well, marijuana is cheaper and more readily available than a lot of other drugs. It's very easy to get, especially in the states where it's, quote, recreational, so it's just going to be everywhere in those states. And so that's where you start. I like that feel, like that high. And what this is often, speaking medically, is especially with young people, this is covering up their insecurity, their depression, their worry about performance and whatever in school, with friends, dating, all the rest of it. All the stresses they're going through as a teenager, here's how you escape it. You get a marijuana joint or you get an edible, and you just space out. And then come back, and what happens? Your performance gets worse. You do it with other people. You're encouraged to do more of it. Oh, by the way, I've got something else you should try. If you like that, this will give you a bigger hit, and that takes them to other drugs. And so, yeah, once you say they're good drugs and bad drugs, then each individual's deciding which ones are best as far as these illegal substances.
And I've seen reports where even the use of marijuana lowers one's IQ.
Oh, it does, and there's good evidence to show that, especially if it's used in the early teenage years. The brain is so developing at that point and on through that that decade that this really impacts the IQ and the success of individuals. And you talk to people that have even come off marijuana and were heavy users as a youth, they'll tell you that they saw that impact on their intellect, and a lot of those effects continue for their whole life.
Let's talk about medical marijuana. I know a number of states have already allowed for this, and in 2018, there's several additional states that are considering it, Oklahoma, Kentucky, South Dakota, Utah, Missouri. What about medical use of marijuana?
Well, I have no trouble with medical marijuana if it was handled like medicine, but it's not. And what I mean by that is this. Imagine, you know, morphine's a wonderful drug. My mom was on morphine as she passed away in hospice because of, you know, her respiratory air hunger. And marijuana blunted that. And I mean, not marijuana, but morphine blunted that and helped her have a good death. And we give it for pain. But we don't go out and allow people to grow poppy plants in their backyard and manufacture their own heroin, do we? It's the same drug. That's where morphine comes from. It comes from poppy plants and heroin. It's a concentrate of that. But that's what we're doing with marijuana. There's no manufacturer. There's no FDA approval. There's no standard chemical composition, the potency and quality. There's no standard dosage. There's no safe delivery system. There's no knowledge of its interaction with other drugs that you may be taking, prescription drugs. It just goes on and on. We already have two drugs in this country. One of them is called Marinol, and the other is called Dronabinol, which have the cannabinol, the active ingredient of marijuana, in them, and they're used for treating nausea, vomiting, glaucoma, and all the rest of it. And so that's fine. I have no problem with that. But instead, we're saying, as they are in California, okay, you, if you need medical marijuana, you can grow six plants in your backyard as long as people can't see them. And you can just kind of roll your own and decide how much you want. I mean, it's a joke. Mm-hmm. If this is medicine, let's regulate like medicine. Let's test it like a medicine. Let's use it as a medicine. And we've done that with two drugs. So this whole thing that we need medicinal marijuana is a joke.
Earlier this year, Attorney General Sessions, January 4th, rolled back the Obama-era policies that allowed for marijuana to thrive legally without federal intervention. Effectively, now he's unleashing federal prosecutors to consider bringing marijuana cases back to court. The Attorney General's taken a lot of criticism for this. Your thoughts on the matter?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, first of all, it's not the administration's prerogative to decide which laws they will enforce and which not. If that, then why have a Congress? You know, Congress passes laws, and they need to be enforced. And the same's true with regulations. To enforce them or not to enforce them, there needs to be standardization. If you've got a regulation, you need to enforce it. If not, reverse the regulation. So what the Obama administration essentially did is said, as long as you don't take it across state lines and you don't let children get a hold of it, it's okay. Well, those things are happening already, and nobody's stopping that either. So I think we do need to have better enforcement. This is going to raise conflict between the federal government and the state governments, obviously, depending on how they enforce this. But the control of drugs is really a federal issue. That's why we have the Federal Drug Administration.
I find it interesting. And Nancy Pelosi said this is an overreach by the federal government when she was talking about the right of states, about the legalization of marijuana. I thought, Nancy, you know, I haven't heard you speak out about states' rights when it comes to abortion. When, you know, states already say it's illegal to kill a baby, but no, the federal Roe v. Wade or whatever they said takes precedence over that and does away with states' rights. I don't hear her arguing for states' rights in that regard.
No, that's absolutely true. There's you see that a lot in politicians where they have conflicting views that don't stand up when you put them up next to each other, but they do that for political purposes. And she's got a lot of voters in California who like with their marijuana, so she's going to make this statement.
You've shared a lot of information, Dr. Stevens. How is it our listeners can learn more on this topic?
Go to cmda.org, and you can find that on our website. And there's a good book I'd recommend by Ben Cort called Weed. That's an easy name to remember. Ben is very much activist, concerned about the commercialization of marijuana. He used to be a heavy marijuana user when he was younger, and has written an excellent book which will educate you and really help you understand this issue in detail. And it's available on Amazon and other sites where you can get a hold of it. The book is called Weed.
Okay, and again, Dr. Stevens' website is cmda.org. We'll repeat that after the break. And let's open the phone lines, folks, if you have a question you'd like to ask. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. What do you think about the information you've heard today? 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. David Stevens is our guest. We're talking about the harmful effects of marijuana and taking your phone calls today here on Crosstalk. And right now the lines are filled, but if you get a, as soon as you hear somebody complete their call, that's your opportunity to call in and with your question today on the broadcast. Again, Dr. Stevens' website is cmda.org, cmda.org. And just before we get that first call, Dr. Stevens, give us a word about Christian Medical and Dental Association.
Yeah, Christian Medical and Dental Association is the largest group of Christian doctors, about 19,000 members. We're with about 30,000 Christian physicians, students, nurses, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, you name it. If you're in healthcare, you can be part of the organization. And we're working on campuses. We're very involved in medical missions, and we speak for our members on topics like the one today, bioethics and healthcare policy that help Christians across the country as well as non-Christians understand these issues better.
Okay. Again, folks, the website is cmda.org. Let's begin. Our first call is from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Patricia, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have had severe back pain for 2.5 years, and the doctors know full well that a very small dosage of morphine taken once a day will keep me relatively pain-free, but they will not give it to me because of the opioid scare. But the doctor said that they will let me take medical marijuana. I just do not want to take medical marijuana because I don't feel it's regulated as it should be, and I don't think they have a proper dosage thing with it. I mean, you're just kind of hitting and missing with the dosage of it.
Uh-huh. Dr. Stevens, your thoughts?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Things have gotten really tight with opioids for healthcare professionals as well as for patients because of the epidemic that's going on, and unfortunately, sometimes people get caught in that. If I write any type of controlled substance here in the state of Tennessee where I'm based, I have to put it on a database, a state-level database. Every doctor in the state can look at that, see if the patient's gotten these opioids from any other source. I'm limited on how much I can give, amount-wise, how often you can give it, all sorts of things, trying to deal with this issue. And I understand why we're doing that, but it can be difficult with people with chronic pain. I would encourage a chronic pain clinic, a pain expert, to look at some ways to deal with this. But I would agree with you. I would not go on so-called medical marijuana unless it was in a regulated form like Marinol or Dodabinol, which you can take as a pill and has a known dosage and effects. And I would try that versus I'm going to grow some plants in my backyard and smoke them.
Hmm. Thank you.
Well, I just had a bad experience a number of years ago when I was at a baseball game and kids in front of me were smoking hashish, and that smoke came back to me, and hashish is just a strong form of marijuana, as I understand. And for 3 days, I could not think straight.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to put that kind of stuff in my body.
Hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate your call. Beth is next in West Dallas. Hi, Beth. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to ask the doctor, because I know back in the day in the late 60s and 70s, it was just so prevalent that no matter where you went, somebody was, you know, doing the hoochie stuff. And I just know that I used to see some of my high school friends come into where I worked, and, you know, they didn't just smoke, you know, the marijuana, but they also drank. And I found that to be something that was prevalent with people that smoked the marijuana, that they also were drinking alcohol. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to increase the high or make the relaxation go on longer. I don't know, using two sedatives there, but So when they use the argument, which was a big argument back in the 60s and 70s, oh, it's much better for you because drinking is, you know, kills the liver and kidneys and blah, blah, blah. But I've never heard of somebody who smokes marijuana that doesn't drink as well. And the other thing I want to make note of, too, is that I know that these laws in California, I believe 21, you have to be 21 to purchase it. But, you know, that doesn't, once again, they have all these brownies and candies and gummy bears and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that you're not supposed to drink alcohol until you're 21. And the problem is that you all the time you're hearing about these teenagers that have been drinking and driving,
yeah.
House parties where the parents are gone or while the parents are there. So, you know, you can make the laws, but that doesn't mean it's going to stop them.
Beth, thanks for the call, Dr. Stevens. And that's one of the things I saw from this reporting out of Colorado is the number of young people that, of course, gain access to marijuana by those who are of so-called age in order to supply them.
Yeah. People will buy it and resell it at a higher price, or they'll just share it with younger people that are friends, and somebody's over 21, they can go get it, and then everybody's going to enjoy it, so to speak. So it is a big issue, and accessibility increases use. We've seen this with the pornography epidemic. I mean, you know, back when I was a kid, it was kids hiding a Playboy under the mattress or something. Now you turn on your internet and see things much, much, much mm-hmm. worse than that. Same thing's going to happen with marijuana. The more you put out there, the more readily available it is, the cheaper it is, the more use is going to occur. It's just a fact of life.
And then she talked about the combined use with alcohol?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a tendency. And as I pointed out already, it gives you six times the chance of being in a fatal accident or any type of car accident or motorcycle accident when you put those two together. So it's a bad combination. They both cause it. I feel mellow. I'm happy. I'm having fun. And really, you're just drunk and high at the same time.
Thank you, Beth, for the call. We're going next to Connie in Hales Corners. You're on the air, Connie.
Hi, Jim. I have a comment and a question. This is so troubling to hear about what's happening. My fear is that some parents might use this marijuana as a new babysitter for their babies and small children. For example, if a baby has colic and is up at night, if a small child can't sleep well or is fussing, are these parents now going to start drugging their infants and their small babies, their children, with this?
Hmm.
And I'd like to ask the doctor what effects this would have on infants and small children. I know that you talked about the effects, but can this actually kill people? Can it actually kill infants from overdoses and small children?
Thank you, Connie.
It really has not been shown to kill. It does cause hallucinations. It causes them to cry and to scream and to or zone out. It can have all sorts of effects, especially in large doses. And what's the dose for a baby? My even greater concern, and the reason we're seeing some of these things, is because of all these products made to look like candy. I wish I could show you a picture I have of all these packaging that looks like a Snickers bar, looks like M&Ms, it looks like whatever, and it's all got THC on it, and the packaging looks very similar to the original package, but a little bit different, and that's how they're marketing this. So a lot of accidental overdoses are occurring. I've not heard of people giving this to their babies. I hope they don't start doing that.
Thank you for the call. Mark is next. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, this is my comment. Personally, I'm amazed that Chuck Schumer wants Trump to legislate against opioids. But, you know, it's him who is opposed against a border control. I mean, in all honesty, if you're going to take a stand against this drug thing, why would you take a stand against border control when that's where the influx comes from? Mm. That's my point.
Thank you, Mark. Interesting comment. How much does come across that border, Dr. Stevens?
There's still a lot of marijuana that comes across the lower border and other drugs as well. I think it's probably going to decrease. I think the competitiveness of so much being available here in the mm-hmm. country is ultimately going to be, dampen that, and they'll just move to other drugs coming across the border, like opioids and heroin and all the rest of it. But it's still going on. There's many states where marijuana is still not recreational or medicinal available, and even in the medicinal states. You know, they were having, interesting, in California, they were having pot banquets. In other words, you come and a chef fills this wonderful meal and it's got marijuana in it. But to get in, you had to have a medicinal marijuana card. Think about that.
Wow.
And well documented that this had been going on in the past. Now, you don't have to have a medicinal card. Everybody's invited if you're over 21. Hmm.
Our next caller is from Crystal Falls, Michigan. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi. My name is Ron from Crystal Falls. And the one thing I've never heard mentioned about the medical marijuana or recreational marijuana is the fact that you can't get a good job if you've got marijuana in your system. I mean, you can't drive heavy equipment. You're not going to be flying any airplanes. You're going to end up with a job at McDonald's.
Thank you, Ron, for that. And there is a cost to be paid there, Dr. Stevens.
Absolutely, and rightly so that they test for this, because it does impair your ability, your reaction time, your ability to see reality, depending on how much dosage you use. And that's why groups are so careful about it with their employees, because they become liable if this is going on and they haven't been testing to find out. And as I mentioned, it can stay in your blood for 28 days. Mm. And still test positive.
Let's go next to Pensacola, Florida. Calvin's calling. Calvin, you're on the air.
Thanks, sir. I'm 65, and of course, back in my teenage days, back the time I was 18 to in my 20s, I smoked marijuana. Of course, I call it smoking grass. And before I got saved, and I found out I didn't need it or want it, but. I've never met anyone of all the pop parties I've been to, all the people I've met, probably thousands of people over the years, those period of time, who didn't use marijuana as a starting step or springboard to hard drugs. Every person I know that ever did hard drugs started smoking marijuana. And we had what they call the one tokers and the two tokers. And another thing about the marijuana brownies, I found out that you didn't feel the effects immediately like you did when you smoked grass, but it would take a little more time before you experienced it. So if kids are eating candy or something, they can't tell. It may be more potent now than it was then. I'm sure it is, going to the doctor. But seems to me that that's going to be a big effect on people, that they don't know how high they're getting or how stoned they're getting, as we used to call it. And it's got to be a serious medical problem, I would think.
Dr. Stevens?
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Calvin. It's more slowly absorbed from the intestinal system. So what happens is people are not getting the effect immediately, so they eat more of it or drink more of the soda or drink whatever's been infused with this tetrahydrocannabinol, and then found out, oh, my goodness, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour later, this stuff hits. And they're really wiped out, and some of them end up in the emergency room or get paranoid or start hallucinating and all the things that can happen with these high dosages. And oftentimes, too, they don't realize how much is in the substance. It doesn't say on there this soda has 350 milligrams. They think, well, it's just marijuana infused. And I've smoked a cigarette. I'll just drink this soda. And it's got 35 times as much as what a normal marijuana joint would have, or grass, as you said. So, yeah, it's a real huge issue, because you don't know the potency of what you're getting, and it's a delayed effect, and people take too much.
Appreciate your call. We're up against a break, so we're going to take this break and be back with more of your calls. Fred, you're going to be next in line in Texas, so stay in line with us and others as well. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Dr. David Stevens is our guest from Christian Medical and Dental Association. Their website, cmda.org, cmda.org. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, one of our listeners sent me a magazine out of the Rochester, Minnesota area. It was advertising Women and Spirituality Conference. As I flipped through the pages of the magazine, it was nothing more than the promotion of Mother Earth worship, Gaia Earth worship, yoga, which means yoke or union with a Hindu god, spiritual feminism, which says that God is really a woman. And this is really nothing new. In fact, Paul addresses this kind of feministic Gnosticism in Acts chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. The feminist Gnostic god, false god, that they were worshiping there in Ephesus was named Diana. We also might know her as the Queen of Babylon, Eleutheria, Artemis. Yes, I believe the one-world spirituality of a feminine god is growing, and it will lead to a woman that rides the beast, a false church in Babylon.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. David Stevens is with us today from Christian Medical and Dental Association, talking about the harmful effects of marijuana. And, Doctor, you mentioned that there's some sources to get more info. One is your website, cmda.org, but also a book?
Yeah, Ben Cort's book, and I interviewed Ben Cort myself, great guy that's speaking out on this and on college campuses, university campuses, and he's wrote a book called Weed, Incorporated, INC, period, talking about the commercialization, and it gives you all kinds of facts and figures and information out of Colorado and across the country. So if you really want to get educated on this topic, that's a great single source. Easy read, but, man, it'll blow you away when you hear all this stuff of what's going on.
That's called Weed, Incorporated. Fred is calling from Mission, Texas. Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I had a question. You had mentioned in the 60s it was about 1%. It has gradually went up to about 40 to 90% of the potential of the marijuana now?
Yeah, it's actually the tetrahydrocannabinol, but the active substance, yes.
Yes. Okay, during the 60s, I used to smoke a lot of that marijuana. Thank the Lord, it changed my life. But during those years, I used to see some of my friends, the girls and the guys, as they were smoking, which I was smoking also. I saw a lot of strange things, you know, the way they acted and everything. Even myself, my voice started to change. I started to say, something's wrong with this stuff. So I backed off. So I started drinking alcohol. And most of my friends would say, hey, have a joint, smoke. I thought I'm going to smoke that stuff no more. They would criticize me. And I would sit back, and I would start looking at their reactions to girls and the men, talking different, acting different, body language looking kind of different, to me, it leads more to the homosexuality, to lesbians also, and I see that, not to myself, but there's a psychological effect on that marijuana. Hopefully, you're going to see a worse outcome of this if they do pass it more, and hopefully the people are listening, and people who has smoked this stuff before, hopefully they call and verify what I'm talking about.
Okay, sexual deviancy, Dr. Stevens.
Well, it impinges your judgment on a lot of issues, and obviously people usually when that it takes away your inhibitions, let's just put it that way, and that can lead to all sorts of behavior including what's been mentioned. So, yeah, it's an inhibition. It changes your ability to think and make decisions and to have good judgment. That's why people will be high on marijuana, get in the car and drive off and not think a thing about it because they don't have good judgment about it. So any type of thing that change your ability to think and make judgments is dangerous for individuals.
Thank you, Fred, and we just praise the Lord for a life change that took place in your life. Brian is calling next from Durand, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Brian.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in a family. Me and my peers, we were around that stuff. We were around marijuana. My brother still uses it. He's a functional user, but one thing I noticed is he uses it as like people use a psychotic drug. You know, you can tell the difference in his personality and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what kind of effect does that have psychotically on the brain? Does it rechange the brain or damage the brain or what does it do?
The studies show the younger you are when you start, the more profound the changes on the brain, and they can even see this on scans and stuff. And people tend to use it as a band-aid on their psychic wounds and trying to cover up whatever, depression or anxiety or all the rest of it. And so it's a mind-altering drug, and they zone out of what's going on and get some relief from the pain they're having in their psyche, and then come back down, and then, well, I need that again. And so it promotes more and more use. Does everybody that smokes marijuana have all the same effects and all end up at the same place? Absolutely not. As we've heard from some of you, you started, I used it, I got off of it, but the effects of significant use causes more significant problems, and that's pretty clear from the medical studies.
Let's go to Racine, Wisconsin next. Christine, you're on the air.
One thing that is extremely troubling, I've noticed how many Christians are in support of this and ignoring the biblical mandate of pharmakia, which is translated as, you know, in witch sorcery in Revelation 19 and Galatians 5, and it's beyond troubling. I, too, am a former user before I was saved. And there is no way on God's green earth that I was not impaired, and it's far stronger now. So the troubling nature of the Christians jumping on board is beyond unfathomable.
Doctor, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you tend to justify what you want to do, and that's a sad thing. And depending on your relationship with Christ and your ability to control your actions, because of that, and if you can't, there's a lot of cultural Christians, as you and I both know, and some people fall into this, and just as they do with alcohol and other addictive drugs, but using it is not honoring our bodies as temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible's very clear on that, and we shouldn't be using mind-altering type of things that impair our judgment and cause us problems in relating with other people. It's not a good witness as well. So a lot of reasons that Christians shouldn't be using it, but I agree with you. There are people that try to justify what they want to do, whatever the behavior is, even though they claim to be Christians.
Thank you, Christine. Estella, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say I used to smoke marijuana, and it's really a terrible drug. It's a drug, and I used to be addicted to it, and it was hard to raise children and try to be getting high all the time. And then I finally opened my Bible, and I read that verse that says to glorify God with your body because you were bought with a price, and that's Jesus's blood. And also, I think I was listening to Brendan House once, and he was saying that, just like the lady that was just on, that, you know, smoking this stuff, it's called pharmakia, I think, in Deuteronomy or something, which is where we get our word pharmacy, and it is witchcraft.
Doctor, we have about 30 seconds. Let me have you have the final word here, Dr. Stevens.
Yeah, it's I'm just glad to hear all these people have come out of it, and that I think we need to emphasize the fact that God can give you victory over anything, any type of an addiction or stronghold in your life, and encourage people to take that step and get help if they need it and moving forward.
Thank you so much. And closing music tells us our time is done. But folks, check out the website, cmda.org, cmda.org. You can even put in the keyword in their search engine of marijuana, and you'll find some great articles on their site pertaining to this. Dr. David Stevens, thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you, Jim.
And folks, thanks for joining us here. We trust that you'll take the information you've gleaned from today's program and share it with another from CrosstalkAmerica.com. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from CrosstalkAmerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.